Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Right now, honored to have the esteemed and longtime former editor for Chicago Magazine. She is the dining editor for Chicago Magazine and a force for food and also fun in studio with us, the one and only Penny Pollack. Welcome to WGN.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, these are exciting times, not only for food fans, right, because this is kind of dining and eating season that is coming up, but for you personally, you know, a longtime career, Chicago Magazine, esteemed, beloved, I would say, and now you get to do things in so many different ways. It's up to you. You're not necessarily confined, and even though it was a medium that was very good to you and your readers, you get to do it, you know, travel, share, and whether it's social media, whether it's some of the audio stuff on the podcast. So what is next for Penny Pollack?
Well, you mentioned podcast, and I think that's where I'm headed. If you were longtime readers of Dish, which was the online newsletter for Chicago Magazine, one of the recurring features was What Penny Eats. Well, I may have retired, but I didn't stop eating.
Right.
And I'm sure everyone wants to know what and where I ate.
And here's the thing, too, is the world of podcasting has no borders, has no bounds. And I know you're an avid traveler, right? And you get out and about. And although Chicago has a diverse food scene, and I think many areas of the world are well represented in the dining scene, you can share, really, right, with some of your travels around the world and things you experience.
I hope so. It's also interesting when you travel and come back to your home city, you find out what real Italian food is and what real Chinese food is and what real Middle Eastern food is and how it's been shoved through a Chicago lens.
Isn't that is something that I have heard, right, where, you know, we take it as gospel that this is this and this is that. But, you know, some things have just been kind of morphed into either what was convenient or maybe thought to be more popular, but totally different, right?
Absolutely. One of my unfavorite questions I would frequently get is, I have a visitor in from France, so what's the best French restaurant in Chicago? And my response is, why would you do that?
Right.
Take them to RJ Grunts for a hamburger. Do the American thing. We're not going to be as good as what they have in France, no matter who it is or what it is.
And you think part of the reason that they're traveling in the first place, right, is to see, experience, and taste different things.
Yeah.
Right? It's not, you don't have a bone of beef right here, and then you go to, you know, Turkey, and then you're going to eat bone of beef. No, you don't want to do that. You want to experience some of the other things. Have it when you get home. Well, we talk about Chicago's kind of identity, and for so many years, and you have been there kind of on the front line with your hand on the pulse as Chicago's real identity. I think its place sort of in the world has changed so much. You know, you used to have, certainly on the food side, you know, Charlie Trotter's and a number of things that people would go to, but Chicago's identity was sports, you know, was Michael Jordan, the Bulls, maybe architecture, great architecture, maybe friendly people from the Midwest, maybe rampant crime on the political side, maybe political, whatever it was. Chicago's new identity, as I travel, and I'm sure that you are, has really kind of changed into, in a very diverse way, into food. I mean, it is right in the team photo, if not, you know, front and center, as really when people think Chicago, they think food. That's exciting.
We're a destination now. And one thing that I've seen change, which I both like and don't like, which I both admire and disparage, are these wonderful restaurant groups used to have many more independent restaurants. And they had their own special nostalgia and connection for people. And about 15, 20 years ago, along came Boca. And then now it's the Boca Group. And along came Brendan Sadikoff with Bavette's. And now he's got Hog Salt. And along came Blackbird by Paul Kahn. And now that's One-Off Hospitality. And they're incredibly talented people, and I am so in awe of what they do, but it makes it harder and harder for that little hole in the wall to open.
You know, I had an interesting interview a while ago with a person actually who was like in the motorsports industry, and they were talking about one of the things, whether they liked this or like that, two completely different things, not related to food at all, but they used food as an example. You know, I like steak, but I also like lobster. Is that a wrong thing? I think that's one of the things that Chicagoans have, and it is, I think, a blessing because of the diverse food scene, our demographics, is that we do have an appreciation for all things. You know, we have some of the best restaurants in the world. You know, you've got Alinea and a number that are on those lists. And then you've got like your, you know, your hot dog stands, your beef stands, your mom and pop places. I think they have a place, maybe not on the, you know, on the list of the maybe top places or aspirational restaurants, but they're still very beloved.
They're definitely beloved. They're just not in River North.
No, it has changed, right? Just what you, you know, it has changed. Just as we have been blessed by a lot of the sort of the celebrity chef culture that has come and some of that fine dining, it has really, Penny, you're right. It, in some of those areas, some of the people that can't afford really expensive rents have been pushed out.
It's true. I had a great Polish meal last week, way west on Irving Park Road at a place called Magic Jug. It was fantastic. It was sort of the size of a large powder room.
I don't know what a large powder room.
Cutesy curtains, and I had the best borscht I've ever had. So when I want to have dinner, I sometimes just want to eat, and I don't want an event, but I still want it to be good, and that's becoming harder and harder to find. Despite the fact that we're now a world destination for gourmet dining, I'd like to see a little more middle.
We're going to get into kind of just who it, you know, what it's like to be Penny Pollock as well. If you want to go out to eat and not have it be an event, I think Penny Pollock coming to your restaurant is an event, right? So they're going to step up their game. You maybe need to get back into disguise on that. And then we're going to talk about Thanksgiving. It is tomorrow, and it in and of itself is changing the way we think about it, approach about it, and the way we eat it. And we'll talk with Penny about some of the ways that the restaurant business and industry is getting involved in what has been for so long a family holiday. It is Dane in for John Williams right here on 720 WGN. WGN. It is the John Williams Show. Daniel in for John until 3 p.m. today. Elif is in the booth, so don't think it's everything has been switched out. We still have Elif manning the booth behind us on the production side. You can call her, talk to her, 312-981-7200. In studio with us, as mentioned, on the eve of Thanksgiving is the former dining editor for Chicago Magazine, the one in only Penny Pollock. And Penny, we've talked about a number of different things, what you're going to do, sort of how Chicago's identity has changed to encompass a really well-received food identity. And now almost for at least, I don't know if this happened around the country, maybe you have some insights on that, but at least here in Chicago, Thanksgiving is kind of going through a different identity where we've got so many different restaurants now. And we all remember those stories of, you know, maybe one or two people, different families going to the you know, they would head out to the, you know, to the Chinese restaurant and that would be it. But for the most part, it was people at home. But now people are going to restaurants. They're involved.
I tend to think it's an age thing. And I'm not exactly sure what age millennials are, but they don't do a lot of cooking. That's one thing. There's a lot of special needs out there that are much more well attended to than ever. There's the gluten-free and the dairy-free and the peanut free and even kosher or halal, and that's sort of a pain to do at home and have special guests that have special needs, and you all want to be together, and we have these glorious restaurants that are dying to have you come in and have a gourmet turkey dinner, which is sort of an oxymoron.
Some people are having, right, exactly, right. You want the down-home, regular, traditional thing, but then, of course, you want it stepped up a little bit. No offense to Grandma, you know, she's doing the best that she can. And so you're looking at it, and part of it is, you mentioned the glorious restaurants, is that these are great places to go, and you really want to treat yourself on a day that is kind of special and food. It seems like a natural fit to kind of have them involved, but you wonder how well it'll be received if everybody's got the memo or the notice, and apparently they have. I talked with Chef Tony Montuano yesterday. He says 800 reservations for river roast that they've got over at Joe's Stone Crab, Steak Seafood and Stone Crab. This is only the second year that they've done it. And
no
they
wonder I can't get a reservation.
Oh, I'm sure you can. Well, you have to go under your actual name. You can't be incognito. 700-800 people will be there. So people are doing it. This isn't an experiment.
The other thing people are doing is turning to food preparation. I don't even know what we call these businesses, like Blue Apron, Madison and Rain. There are companies that prep everything. You order it, and then you get like this Gigunda meal kit. I actually did it a couple Thanksgivings ago because I literally had an emergency.
So it's like IKEA for food. You have to build it yourself.
Yeah, but it comes with all the instructions and everything's chopped and minced and labeled and numbered. And so you have a home cooked meal that you didn't have to shop or prep for. And that's pretty fabulous, too.
So you've got some of these services, and I think that kind of transcends even just the Thanksgiving side. I think that's a great gift-giving option down the road, too, where people are giving things like Blue Apron, right? If you're a foodie and you want to be more on the hands-on end of it, you can go ahead and do that. So many different ways to do it, either the traditional, either just show up at one of the restaurants where oftentimes they'll have a Thanksgiving selection for one or two kind of straggling family members that need that. And then the ways that you can either have it made and pick it up, all done, or just make it yourself. So Sweet Baby Ray's, I know that they're doing a great Thanksgiving. We'll have some of their sides. I know that restaurants like Carlucci's.
Carlucci and Downers Grove. And I know Lunatic Lover and Poet on Randolph, West Loop. Seven Lions, excuse me, on Michigan near Millennium Park. And the Florentine and the Marriott. They all still have reservations available if we've convinced any of you to just put the turkey back in the freezer.
So, Penny, as we let you go, and like I said, you know, you're retiring from Chicago Magazine, but I think this is just opening up an entirely new world of opportunities to share what it is that you do. You don't necessarily have to be incognito. The world of a food reviewer, food editor has changed so much anyway, right?
You know, so much. The internet changed everything, and we reached the conclusion probably later than we should have that being incognito was so yesterday.
Well, today is a bright day. Tomorrow is Thanksgiving, and the future is bright for Penny Pollack. Penny, for those people who want to follow you, catch up with you, keep up with all your adventures, where can they go social media-wise?
I do have a Twitter handle. That's a bad question, Dane, because I had people at the office who did all that for me.
Okay. Well, you know what we're going
to
do?
We'll get back to it the next time I'm on the show.
And we'll have it up at WGNradio.com for the podcast so people can get all that stuff, too. We'll let you get back to doing. What are you doing? Or is that a secret? Or, Penny, what are you doing?
No, I'm not. It's not a secret. I'm organizing my contact list, which is a mess, which I bet a lot of you relate to. But I am planning on launching a podcast very soon, and you'll find out where I'm still eating.
Exciting, exciting. And then for Thanksgiving, last thing, 20 seconds, what are you going to eat tomorrow?
One of my daughters is making a vegetarian Thanksgiving at home. And then we're going to watch It's a Wonderful Life to kick off the season.
Nice. All right. Well, she knows how to do it right. You can follow in her footsteps. And, of course, we'll have that at WGNradio.com. Quick break. Thanks, Penny Pollack, for being in. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll send it to news. It's the John Williams Show. Dane in on 720 WGN.